Well, I have a big schuss to be able to speak in Or Avram. I hear so many things about it all the time. I understand speaking at these breakfasts is usually given to people of big esteem, etc. Nashim Chashuvim, but they decided to make an exception this week, this time, Baruch Hashem. By the way, how long am I speaking for?
2 hours.
2 hours? Okay, fine. Hour and a half is okay? I wanted to mention a certain concept which I'll try to make sure something you guys didn't hear about. Something connected to Shavuos, but I think something connected to our everyday life, which I think can relate to maybe even specifically Or Avram, more in a specific way also. Something that I feel about this place, even though I know you don't see me so much here. I happen to know many people that come here, and I know a lot of people that come in and out of here, so I am familiar to a certain extent with Mossad. Listen to an interesting Gemara, okay? Very interesting Gemara in Shabbos. It says like this. I'll transliterate what I was reading. Brich Rechmana Yav Orien Talisa. This is talking about on the day of Shavuos. It's on Shabbos Peches, and the Gemara is over there by Shavuos. And it says, blessed is the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Brich Rechmana Yav Orien Talisa. They gave us a triple Torah. A triple Torah, which of course we know means Tanakh, Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. La'am Talisa, to a triple nation. Of course, because we were made up of Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim. Al Yad Talisa, through a triple person. Who is this triple person? Moshe Rabbeinu. Why is he a triple person? Because he was a third child. He was a third child. Right? As we know, right? Aaron, Miriam. And of course, Moshe Rabbeinu was a third child. I always tell this over my wife. Me and her are both third children. So we see the chashivus of being a third children. That's the epitome of everything. B'yoyim talisai, on the third day. What's the third day? Shloshe me'agbala. We know there was 3 days of separation before Matan Torah. Before that happened, B'yacha Talisai. And Gemara says, on the third month, what's the third month? As we know, Sivan, right? He said, here's Sivan. We're in the third month right now. That third month, we see here a pinnacle idea, which Gemara does not explain what's so special about it, but there seems to be an important number, something special about Matan Torah, the time of Kabbalah Satara, and the number 3, which doesn't explain. What's interesting, if you look at the Rishonim, Renisim Gon, he has a few more 3s. There seems to be a few more 3s that the Gemara didn't mention. First of all, what Shevet was Moshe Rabbeinu from? From Shevet? Levi, number 3. He was from the third Shevet. Very interesting. Of course, we come a nation of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That's a little bit of an easy one. Right? He says we come from a nation. And I don't know, maybe some people think this is like a thing. But he also says, and Moshe Rabbeinu's name is Mem Shin Hei, 3 letters. Right? He says you also have 3. It seems to be a very interesting idea. This number 3 seems to be very fundamental, and the Gemara doesn't exactly explain why. Now the truth is, when you look in Halacha, the number 3 is incredibly important also. In Halacha we find it all the time, the number 3. We know the Gemara is in Baba Basra that talks about a chazakah. You have to have 3 years in order to make a chazakah. We know that if you find in a fruit 3 bugs, so you're not allowed to eat it anymore, it's becheskes menuga, then it's a problem. 2, you can still eat it, you just have to remove them, you can still go ahead. But 3 is already a problem. When you ask Mechila on Yom Kippur, we know up to 3 times you're supposed to ask. We know when you make a Zimun and Birkas a Mazim, which you're about to do, is at least 3 people, sometimes 10. Okay? And we find a number of places when you do a Maisa Toiv, when you do a good action, right? When you do a mitzvah, of a certain type of mitzvah, and you do it 3 times, we know that's a din of a neder. That's chalan in a din of a neder. We know... And another thing is in Baba Kama, of course, with a shor shenogach, when do we decide that he's a mu'ad as opposed to a tam? Of course, after 3 times, the amount of cases that we find for this number 3 seems to be endless, okay? If I want to make something hefker, if I want to annul something, I have to do it in front of 3 people, because that's considered kebiyachal rishus rabim, I'm doing it in front of many people. You do it in front of 3 people. Okay, that's how it is in many, Tumah Birshus Arabim. It's with 3 people. There's the idea of Tumah Birshus Arabim is more lenient, and that's when there's 3 people, etc., etc. There's many places in Allah. It seems to be the number 3 is very fundamental Yisrael. Now the truth is, the world was created with the number 3, without getting into all the details of the matter, right? The whole world was created with the number 3. Why? Because, like I said, I'm not going to get into details about this idea, but I'm sure we're familiar that there's ideas of these spheres that are, the world was created with the spheres. There are 10 of them. Now the truth is, number 10 is not a number in itself. 10 is just a number klali. It's something that is mekabetz, the first 9. So there really are just 9 spheres, which is 3 times 3, right? Which is chesed, bura, tifer, right? We know chabad, chagat, nai, Okay, Chochma bin Adad, Chesed Borf, again, I'm not getting into all these details, but I'm just trying to show that it seems to be that the whole essence of the world stands and is built on this number three. Three times three. The number nine. The number nine is it. And like I said, as the Maharal writes, number 10 is not really a number. 10 is when you start recounting the new count. You start from 1-0 and you start from fresh. 10 is a kibbutz. That's why a minion is 10 people. Because you have 3 times 3, and the number 10, you need that Mr. number 10 in order to take those 9 and make it into one person. Otherwise you have 9 individuals. Only when you have that number 10, he takes all 9 and he makes it into one. Okay, so we learned something new today in these past few minutes, Baruch Hashem. Number 3 seems to be a very important number, which I'm going to show you. Seems to be a very expressive idea for us to learn from. And you'll see it also applies in the world itself. The world itself. Okay, now why am I mentioning this idea of three? So let's introspect into this idea. The Maharal writes in Tiferes Yisrael like this. Tiferes Yisrael is the Maharal Sefer on Matan Torah, on the idea of a Kabbalah Torah. He writes that of course the number one is always when you have one dot, you have one individual, of course Echad, a Kodesh Baruch Hu, you have one. One is individualized, it's its own thing. Whenever you start with the number two, that is the beginning of pirud, of separation, of differentiation, of something going in a different manner. That's already the beginning of machloikas. On the second day, it doesn't say ki tov. In the second day of creation, it doesn't say ki tov, because that was already the beginning of having something else. Okay? That was already the beginning of another creation, of something else. Something coming out of one is already the beginning of machloikas. You have two dots. We say on the mizmor, at the end of davening, Mizmor Shir L'Bnei Korach. We talk about Korach on the second day. Why do we talk about Korach? Because we always know the epitome of Machlekes. When we talk about Machlekes, the epitome of that person is Korach. And that is very applicable on day two. On day two is when Machlekes occurs. That's when it begins. That's two. Number three is, of course, what we call the Mizug Benehem. That's the parallel between them. Okay, I'm sure we remember in geometry. Whenever you had 2 points, you had 2 points. The third point is always some centrifuge between the two of them. That is the point of meeting between these two dots. That's how you connect the two dots. That anywhere that you put that third dot, there's going to be one dot in between the two dots that connects them. That is a point of meeting in between them. It takes away from the two extremes and it finds it in a different way. It finds it in a different way. When you have a triangle, the way of connecting it is, of course, with the third line. Okay? You can't have any type of shape with two lines. You need to have that third line. The smallest shape is a triangle. The smallest shape is a triangle. So I'll go upon him. That's the idea of three. Three seems to be a combining of taking two, which is the point of machloikis, extremes, and putting it together. Let's apply this to a couple places, which we might be familiar with, yeah? First person we know, of course, our first Abba, was Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, we know, was the pinnacle of chesed. He was the pinnacle of chesed, of doing chesed, of giving out and outpouring of chesed, of giving over, giving out as much as he can. Okay, that was Avraham Avinu. Now, chesed is a fantastic thing. Chesed is a fantastic thing. Right? We all know doing chesed is a great thing that we're supposed to do. But when a person overdoes chesed, it's also a problem. It's gotta be done with a certain hagbalah. Because too much chesed is, as the pasuk says, what does the pasuk say? Chesed he. The pasuk says chesed he, referring to arayos. A person who has illicit relations. Right? A person who has illicit relations is called chesedi in the Torah. Because chesed is good, but when it's overdone, when there's no gvulus, when there's no limitations, so too much chesed is dangerous. Too much of a person overexpressing himself, giving himself with no limitations, is chesedi, and that's not right. That's wrong. That's usher. That's not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to have a certain limitation, and that's what we find. Avraham Avinu, of course, had two children. One was Yitzchak, and the other, our good old cousin, Yishmael. Who is the expression of chesed, the Gemara in Kedusha Memtes, of course, that says that Teisha Kavim, when Hashem gave down Arias into the world, 9 of them was taken by Yishmael. Yishmael, who pretend to be so tsanua, are incredibly Bali Arias, as we all know, because we see what they're willing to do, how much they're willing to kill themselves just to get what they're gonna get in their next world, quote unquote, right? We all know about the 70 things that they plan on getting upstairs, right? That they plan on doing. They're willing to be Moser Nefesh, give themselves up and kill themselves in any type of way, in the most gruesome type of way, in order to get this Arias that they can get a hold of. Because they took Chesed to an extreme. They took it to its fullest. That's Avraham Avinu. Okay, as we move on to Yitzchak, we know Yitzchak is the Midah of Gvura. Gvura is, of course, the Midah of limitation, of being limited, of being Magbil yourself, of strengthening yourself, holding yourself back. limiting yourself. That's the midah of gevura, of course, a fantastic midah. Something that we all need. Ezu gibor kovesh et yitzro. Someone who's a real gibor, someone who's able to limit himself. Someone who's able to restrain, can wake up to davening on time, make it to Seder on time. He's able to, when he has a certain ta'ava, a certain interest in something, knows how to say no. He knows how to resist. If something's not kosher, if a person's not permitted, he knows what to say no. He knows how to be restrictive. He knows how to say no. That comes from our great father, Yitzchak Avinu, which the Torah doesn't even write so much about because he was such a high darga of Gvura. Now, of course, if we take Gvura again to the extreme, what's going to happen? The person who's a massive gibor, uses gvur to the extreme. He goes ahead and uses that gvur to kill people. He's a rotzeach. He says, I want this world for myself. He tries to take it to, he wants to conquer, he wants to dominate. And he's willing to destroy all and kill all in order to make sure that all is his, that he is the end all and gets all of everything. Who is that? That, of course, we know is the byproduct of Yitzchak Avinu, which is Esav Edom. Esav is the midah of Ritzicha, okay? Well, we had in Shavuos now, right? When Hashem gave out the Torah, he went out and he wanted to give the Torah to everyone. He asked them, Ritzicha, they didn't, if it says that I can't kill people, I'm not interested. Okay, we don't have to look far to know that Esav and Germany, etc., are the ones who are the killers. They're the blatant killers, they don't do it in hidden as much as the Arabs do, but Lamaisa, they're the Roitzchim, and they were Yoresh, they were inherited this Midah from Esav, who took the Gvura, but to an extreme. Of course, we finally get to our final father, we finally get to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu is the Midah of Tiferes. The Midah of Tiferes, Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes. He takes Chesed, he takes Gvura, and he finds the middle Dargi. He takes it in its perfect Malach. He takes it exactly in the way that it's supposed to be taken. Not too much of this, not too much of that, but right down the middle. Right down the middle. He takes it exactly the way it's supposed to do. You're supposed to have Gvura, you're supposed to have Chesed, but you have to have it in the right place, in the right time. Everything has to be done with the right way. And that is why we know that Yaakov Avinu is the Midah of Torah, right? We all know the Midah of Torah is always given to Yaakov Avinu. Why is Yaakov Avinu the Midah of Torah? Because this is what Torah is. People think Torah is coming to tell us no, and don't do this, and asur, and prohibited, you're not allowed to do this, you're not allowed to do this. That is incorrect. The Torah is not coming to tell us what you're not allowed and not allowed. It's telling us what you are allowed to do. It's telling us, take it and do it in this minun, in this amount. You're allowed to have this, but you're only allowed to have it. You want to eat something, it's fine. You have to do it in the right way. Baruch Hashem, we have a lot of good food here on the table, and we don't have to be too limited. Just make sure you have it in the right amount. Just make sure you have it in the right place. You make sure you say a bracha, make sure at a proper shechita, etc. Make sure things are okay. We don't say everything is not permitted. We say things permitted, but only in as much as it's in the right place. It's only as much as the right place. A person to be with other... right? With all these other types of relationships, etc. It's done, as long as it's done in the right way. Appreciate it. Okay, but Al Kapanim, that's this idea. Everything is done. That's the Midah of Torah. The Midah of Yaakov Avinu is Tiferes. The Midah of taking everything. There's a Siman in Shulchan Aruch, Siman Reish Lamed Aleph, where it's a whole Siman in Shulchan. It's very good to see one time. It's a very easy Siman, one of the easiest Simanim. You can open the Mishnah Berurah. Yeah, Siman Reish Lamed Aleph. 2, 3, 1. Okay? Right, Reish Lamed Aleph. Over there, he writes, it's really a Rabbeinu Yonah, about Kol Ma'asecha L'Shem Shemayim. Everything you do should be L'Shem Shemayim. And he goes through all our actions through the days should be done in the right place, at the right time, with the right intentions. Okay? Whether it's sleeping, whether it's eating, whether it's drinking, every single action that we do, right, has to be done and can be done. It should be done L'Shem Shemayim. It has to be done like this, not too much of that, not too much of that. That's what the whole Torah is. Zeh Kol HaTorah, that's Kol HaTorah Kula in Regel Echad. That's the whole idea of the Torah, and that's what Yaakov Avinu was teaching us. From here, we see an important yisod, an important idea, which I'm trying to bring out, and here I'll just bring out a couple examples. But we see that since the Torah is built on this number 3, on this midah of Tiferes, on this number of 3, and we see that the idea is that sometimes you go to one extreme, and then the other extreme, and then from there you find yourself down the middle. In other words, sometimes you find yourself in a difficult situation. Sometimes things are not easy. But that is the point of Gadlus. That's the point where a person builds himself. The point of Gdula is a point where you have one extreme. You have one certain amount. Then you have the Koshi, the Nisayan, and then you come out in the middle, somewhere in the middle coming out. This is the point of breakage between, what we say, between the men and the boys. The person who's able to sustain himself and the person who's not able to do it. We know that Yaakov Avinu was the one who went through the most tsaris. He had the most difficulties in his life. He's known as Choshech. We have Shacharit, the first davening we have. Shacharit is Keneged Avraham Avinu. Mincha is for Yitzchak. And Mariv, Arvit, is Yaakov Avinu, because he is the replacement of darkness. He is during the time of darkness. When things are not easy, that's Yaakov Avinu. That's the place of Torah. Real Torah comes when sometimes things are not always so easy. You had a certain light, a certain darkness abrupts in its place, and then suddenly, if a person breaks through that difficulty, through that Nisayan, so he's the one who's able to reach the point of Tiferes, the point of Yaakov Avinu. Lamashal, like what they teach you over here in Orvram, the Nukuda that they teach you. What happens when you learn a Gemara? Right, over here, Baruch Hashem, they teach you very systematically the Mahalach, how a person's supposed to break up a Gemara, how a person takes a Gemara. Many times you have a piece of information, a given, a statement. Okay, that's Chochmah. Chochmah is the fact itself. And from there, the Gemara, or you yourself through the Rishonim, or through questions that might come up with what we call a question, a Kasha. Right? Akasha, that's the point of Bina, from Chochmah to Bina. Person has Akasha, he has a disturbance, something's disturbing him. Tosfos might come up with something that's disturbing him, something that is difficult and not understood. If a person remains there, many times it will be difficult, it will be disturbing, he won't find necessarily a point of satisfaction from such a thing. That's the point of Bina. To reach Das, to reach that third step in the middle after Chochmah and Bina, and then to reach the real Das, is when a person takes all the information at hand, and he tries to come up with the teretz. Or he tries to combine the whole idea and make some nice picture out of it. He tries to make something out of it. That's what this idea is. To take two extremes, you have a piece of information, you have a difficulty, and through that you come up with the teretz, and there's nothing more geschmack. As we all know, there's nothing more enjoyable than to go through a piece of Gemara in that type of way, to be able to go through it. In other words, it's not even though a person has something difficulty, the difficulty still made it. It's because of the difficulty. It's specifically because of the difficulty. That's the point of growth. Then I know I'm really learning. Then I know that I'm doing something right. Then I know that it's right. I one time saw a bumper sticker. I think it makes a lot of sense. He says, life is like a bicycle. He said, life is like a bicycle. Do you ever see this bumper sticker? It says, life is like a bicycle. If it's getting very difficult, then you know you're going up. Then you know you're on the uphill. Right? If things are easy, then mustama you're going downhill. If things are too easy, then mustama you're going down. It's true. When things are going sometimes difficult, sometimes things are not easy, when it's a push to get here, to make it here on time, or to make it to Seder, or not even on time, to not take a break for a few days in the middle, to take a chofesh in the middle, you know, and this reason, and that reason, that reason. Everybody has their issues at home, of course. And to keep coming day after day, that is the point of godliness. That's the point when a person grows. I'll give you another example. On a similar case, I'm sure we know the famous Gemara in Sota and other places. The Gemara says that we all know that a child in the womb of his mother knows Kol HaTorah Kula, is taught the whole entire Torah. He knows the whole entire Torah. Of course, right? Famous Gemara that we know. And we know what happens when he comes out. When he comes out, he forgets everything. They say they take it out of here. So some people who don't have such a big hit, so we see that they're smarter people. Right? If that's a fact, I haven't seen that so much, but I'll kapon him. That's an idea that's brought down. What's the point of teaching this baby, this child, the whole entire Torah? Who cares? Who needs it? What's the big deal? Why is he required to have such a limud? Why is he required to have this? Anyways, he's gonna forget the whole entire thing. Right? Anyways, eventually he's gonna forget the whole entire thing. So the answer is, what we're saying now, the same exact idea, of course. Same exact idea. You need a start of a beginning, you have a haschala, and then you have a koshi, a little bit of a forgetting, and then you're able to get to the meat in the middle, you're able to get to number three. You're able to get to that point of tiferes somewhere in the middle. If you have the beginning, and you have it all, it's just a matter of bringing it back, of being chozer, getting it all back, so you kind of forget it when you come out, and Baruch Hashem, it starts coming back. Sometimes you feel, you know, you remember. You remember the concept, you remember of it happening, something that's meshachzer, as they say, it comes back. After a little while, you start remembering it. One extreme, the other extreme, and then that's the way to come out with something in the middle. Okay, I'll give one last example on this idea. Which again, it might relate to one or two of you over here, or maybe even to all of us. The idea of a Baal Tshuva. Have we ever heard of this person called the Baal Tshuva? The truth is all of us are Baal Tshuva. We all go through Yom Kippur every year, and we all try to be Chozer B'Tshuva, hopefully. Al Kopanim, but we all know the Mahalach of a Baal Tshuva. Many times, maybe some of us can relate personally to such a phenomenon, but a person who suddenly goes to a seminar, or to Esh HaTorah, or to Or Sameach, or to some place, of these, or to Avram, right, or one of these places, which kind of help a person build his muscle. Suddenly, a person who came from nothing, and then suddenly he finds something. He, as we say, he sees the light, right? He suddenly sees something, at the end of the tunnel. He realizes there's a purpose for living. There's something to be here. There's a little bit more than what I was taught when I grew up, An important thing, right? Unfortunately, it's a little bit more difficult these days, as we all know. And the reason is simple. I remember when I went, I left high school, and I came for a year to Israel. It's classic what everybody did that time. I came to a certain yeshiva over here for the year. And people always say, what made you turn over? How did you become more firm? What was it? You know, which rabbi or which type of thing? And the real answer, and I think this is the answer with most people, the real answer is the fact that you left. The fact that you left America. You left all the idiocies that go on there. You left all the warped mind that they raised you with to be able to once and for all think for yourself. Once, it's very funny when they think that people come back from a year in Israel and they call you brainwashed. I think the more correct term is to be that you washed your brain. Right? Because you were completely surrounded by someone telling you what to do. Everything that you had to do was obviously keeping up with your friends, having to do what everybody else is doing. The priorities that they give over there, the priorities that is given in that society, that's what we're raised with, that's the way we think, that's the way we always think is what's correct. Until you finally leave, you step out of the ring a little bit, and then you start realizing, what am I doing here? Why am I here? What do I think? And stop letting other people think for you. That's usually a classic. Unfortunately, that's a very hard thing to do these days, because unfortunately when people even come for their year, if they do, they never leave. Right? Now we know that with technology, you're always connected. You never have to leave. In my days, I remember just to make a call to America, you had the Asimons and you had to put it in, and you had to go and make a collect call, and then my mother would call me back, and it was once a week, Bikoshi, and this and that, one of these things, Bikoshi could stay in touch with my friends. If I wanted to be in touch with my friends, I actually wrote, believe it or not, yeah, you're not going to believe it, a letter, right? With the stamp and everything, one of those airmail things, right? I remember writing it, sitting here writing a letter. It's like such a phenomenon. But nowadays, as much as you're here, you're never there, you're always here. You're here, you're there, you're everywhere, you never left. And that's really one of the big issues why it's so hard for people to change over, Because they're always still connected, unfortunately. But for those of us who have made it, right, for those of us who have jumped, we know what happens. You get like this, this aura, this enjoyment, this geschmack, from being able to see the Torah, connect to something that's real, you feel the emes, a certain thing. But what happens with time, sometimes weeks, sometimes months, maybe even after years, depends on the person. Suddenly, different nisyonot happen, different koshi. It's not as easy as you thought it was going to be. Suddenly, you find that, as we say, the stage two kicks in. The harder part, you go from the part of chesed to gvura, the part of gvura comes in, the nisayon. Right? The part of difficulty goes in, and the person has to go through it. Here is the point, as we said before, that separates between the men and the boys. Many people, unfortunately, Rachman al-Litzlan, and especially nowadays, we have a very weak generation, they don't make the second stage. They can't make it out of that stage. Because it's too difficult. They have to go through too much in order to survive. I see that it was a mistake. Everything I thought is not true. And a lot of times they just fall away to the wayside. But those of us who do make it, those of us who do pull through, those of us who realize that this is a point that's the building block of a person, this is where I'm really going to flex my muscles. Over there, he's the one who gets to stage three. He moves to Tiferes, number three. Right? Back to that magical number three that we were talking about. The real point of Hatzlacha, for anyone is Dafka after the Koshi. When the Koshi comes, then a person made a Kinyan. That's when he owns it. We said, three times a person owns a piece of property. Three times is when a shore is considered a Muad. He's considered one who gores consistently. Right? Why is it always a number three? Because it's after number two, after he goes to the Koshi, and he comes to number three, now we know he means it. Now it's real. Now it's not fake. This is the real thing. I want to point out an interesting scientific phenomenon, just to keep you guys awake. But you'll see it's a very interesting thing. There's something that always disturbed me until I heard the concept once and I put it together with this. It's a very interesting idea. Something that always disturbed me. Listen to this. We all know Aristotelian concept, right, which was believed until approximately 400 to 500 years ago, of course, is that who is the center of the universe? Of course we are. The earth is the center of the universe. All the planets and the sun revolve around the earth. We stand at the center and everything revolves around us. That's how the solar system works. We stand at the center and the sun and everything else, all the other planets are around. That's how it was for a good 1500 years, right? From the time of Aristotle until approximately 450 years ago to 500 years ago, till this guy, do we know what his name is by any chance? It was the guy who changed the whole phenomenon. His name was Copernicus. Copernicus, right? Copernicus, the ever-popular Copernicus. He went and he changed around the whole mahalach of the solar system. He proved through mathematical and his telescopes and through mathematical cheshbonot calculations that it's not true. The sun is in the middle. He changed the whole entire way of thinking. He was considered by the church a koifer. He was a koifer baker. You mamish arguing on Aristotle, you're arguing on the whole entire thing. They were very upset at him for everything he was doing. He was actually chased after, sought after. They wanted to kill him. Okay? That's what they kill for. They decided that it was against for what it was inappropriate what he was saying. Al-Kapadim, this was his proven thing. It wasn't until the day of his death he was again a chaste person, so it wasn't Mekubal. Only later on with his Talmidim, etc. Eventually, I think hopefully most of us know that Lamaisa we go with the Copernicus Mahalach these days, right? I think we all know that one, right? Al-Kapadim, what happened? So he decided that who's in the center of the universe? The sun is in the center of the universe, and we're somewhere in the middle of the solar system. And now we know it's true. Of course, with our telescopes, not very hard to prove it these days. Everything is very clear that he was 100% correct. The only thing is, okay, so we know this. We grew up with this. We had science fair projects. I'm sure we all saw this type of idea. Okay, so there's something we're comfortable with. But if that's true, the question that we all have to ask ourselves is, Aristotle was right. Aristotle makes a lot more sense. Who are we here for? Bishvilini b'raylam. We know the Torah tells us that the whole world is here for us. We are here. We are the world, right? We're the ones who are creation. We're here for a reason. The whole world was created for us, right? There is nothing that lives on the other planets. They can go jump to Mars and try to look as much as they want. We all know that nothing exists there. The people, Adam Arishan and us, we are the people. We are the reason for all of creation. So what's wrong with Aristotle is correct. Why didn't Hashem make it that way? We should be in the center of the universe and everything should be around us. Right? That would make a lot more sense. So people say, well, scientifically it won't work out, it'll be too hot, etc. No. Right? You understand? It's a good question. Why did it work out that way? So what's the answer to the question? What's the answer to the question? A fantastic answer.
We're number three.
Oh, excellent. We're the third planet. We're planet number three. Right? 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 Mercury, Venus, and then Earth, right? Fantastic, no? It's true. We live on the number three. The number three is our point of survival. That is how we survive. We are number three. Three is a way a person builds himself. If a person lives all his life on number one, just living a high on drugs, just trying to live a high on his extremes, he's never going to survive. He will never find happiness. There will be no simcha. There will be no sipuk achayim. He will never have shleimus. Nothing will be of satisfaction. It will never be a point of any type of satisfaction. The Midrash says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he was boine olamos u'machrivam. Boine olamos u'machrivam. That's the lashon of the Midrash. That Hashem created the worlds, and then he destroyed them. He created them, and then, now we all know, Hashem doesn't make mistakes. What does it mean that Hashem was boine olamos u'machrivam? He created them and destroyed them. The answer is, the world was created with the nature of destruction. That sometimes there's creation, there's destruction, and then there's creation again. That's the mahalach of the world. There's things that are a point of a high, and then there's a point of difficulty. And then you go back to having that high again. That's how the world is made. The world is made with having a built-in nisayon, a built-in difficulty. That's how the world is meant to be. And that's why we are so built on this number three. Three times three is the spheres. That's what I told you. That's everything. That's all it comes from. Parenthetically, I'll tell you one more parenthetical thing. Interesting. This comes just from my one single thing I probably remember from math class. But if you remember, there's one number, that's the number three, you're gonna figure it out anyways, I'm not gonna bother, right? The number three, any dividend of the number three, right? You have to figure out how this connects everything I'm saying, but still the calls will come. There's the only number, the number three, that any dividend of the number three, when you add the two numbers together, it always adds up to a dividend of the number 3. In other words, 9, 12, 15, 18, 21, these are all dividends of the number 3, right? Right? So you take the number, right, let's say 12, 2 plus 1 is 3, 15, 5 plus 1 is 6. You take it, right, 18, 8 plus 1 is 9, 21, 2 plus 1 again, right, 24, 4 plus 2 is 6. Every dividend of the number 3, you remember this? No, you remember this? This is how you always get to, on your SATs, you can cheat on your SATs to get it faster, right? To know how to get a dividend of the number 3, it always, that's not coincidence, it's because number 3 is such a fundamental number, because that's what the number of the world was created with. That's the yesod of Kol HaOlam, that everything is divisible. There's no end to the amount of divisibility to this number 3, there's no end. In every sphere, Chochma, Bina, Dat, there's the 10 spheres inside of it, and in every one of those 10 that are inside of there, there's 10 more inside of each one of those. It's an endless track. Because that's how, again, the world was created. Okay, so I think we learned a very important yesod here, the world of Torah, the balance of how we learn Torah. And sometimes we have to know that sometimes it's not easy, and it doesn't make a difference, and you should never, ever compare yourself to, let's say, in a different Beis Midrash or in a different place or whatever. The amount of amelus that a person puts into it, the amount of effort that he puts into everything, that's how much he gets back. That's how much revach, that's how much the profits come back. It's a tremendous schar that a person gets. Lefum tzar agra. We know that's a tremendous amount. I'll end with one last example of this idea of difficulty, which I'm sure we're familiar with, especially from the Rosh Hashiva, I understand, speaks much about Shalom Bayis, and no question in my mind, obviously spoke at this idea, but since it just connects with what we're saying, I'll just end with this idea. That statistically speaking, if you look at statistics, most divorces, over 60% of divorces, come in the first year of marriage. Most of them come in the first year of marriage. One time my wife showed me, actually, interesting fact, when she was learning in school, they actually brought the first year of marriage, and the second after that is 7 or 8 years after marriage. And the hypothesis that they said is, why first year of marriage, I'll explain to you in a second, but why after 7 or 8 years of marriage? Because they said that's when all the electrical appliances start breaking. That's what they wrote in the book. It's like, sad, so everyone, you know, there's a lot of metach in the house, a lot of frustration in the house. Okay, that's how it is. Kopadim, why the first year? I think we can all figure it out, because most people, when they get married, they're living a romance. They're living in an ideal type of thing, especially when we're talking about people who are not necessarily going in Shiduchim, right? People going out, they live a romantic type of life, a number one stage, an ideal stage, right? This epicuric idea, this enjoyable type of thing, right? Everything's so flowers and roses, everything is so enjoyable, so geschmack, until you get married, then you get to stage 2, right? And we all know what happens in stage 2. Suddenly you realize the person you married, one second, wait, this is not as simple as I thought. Right? What's going on? Right? She doesn't always look as good as she does, she doesn't talk as nice as I expect, and she's not acting the way I always was used to. I was robbed, right? This is not fair. Maybe I should try again, and this is what most people say when they do it. I mean, these funny people who decide to actually separate after the first year say, I'll just try again, as if number 2 is going to be much better, right? Right? Everybody knows. Women are women, right? That's the way it is, right? You can't do anything on a tape. Yeah, I just realized I have to be careful. And instead there's no discussion, though. That's right. Right? No, everyone knows the difference between men and women, which of course I'm not going to get into, the difference between Sechel and Regis, like I said, I'm sure the Rosh Hashiva spoke about it very often. But Kopadim, that's the way it is. That is the point of building. On the contrary, that duff in that first year, that's what separates the men from the boys. That separates a real couple from a fake couple. True love is only built through these difficulties. The point of marriage, I'm telling you, go back to America, I was just there not long ago, and people ask, why bother getting married? They really ask this question, like, why bother getting married? Why? Because they can go and have a good time, enjoy themselves and not do anything, and never have any commitments. That's the way people live, we know that. We know that the society is diminishing because they can't replenish themselves, right? There's no marriage going on because they're not interested in second stage. They want to live first stage. And surprise, surprise, when they get to the 40s, 50s, they're living the most massive mid-age crisis that ever existed on the planet Earth, right? They can't survive. They're living with such depression. They have nothing to stand for themselves. They're on their way to death. There's nothing behind them. They don't feel what they accomplish is there. Everything is not there. The real building of any relationship, the real building of anything, is to go through the difficult times. It's to go. You go through times when you have the first child, when you go through the bar mitzvah, when you go through a wedding, when you go through the difficult times, when you do it together as a couple. So over there is the point of a real bond. You go from romance and you go to a real marriage, the point of a real connection. There's nothing that survives in this world that is a real kinyan amiti without the number 3. Until you get to that number three, it doesn't survive. And it's an important piece of knowledge to know. Because if you don't know it, then when you hit number the difficult stage, you end up sometimes falling to the wayside. Maybe it's not learning Torah. Maybe it's with its midas. Maybe it's with the relationship with person. Maybe it's with marriage. Maybe it's with, again, with anything. It doesn't have to do. Everything has to do. I'll end with a story that I saw in Pesach Krom brings a story. He brings a story, a true story of a guy named Chesky. This person, Chesky, this was from Rav Shalom Shadron. We know Rav Krom was close to Rav Shalom Shadron, who told him the story. Rav Shalom Shadron, when he was younger, had a learning mosad, similar to this, mamash similar to Or Avram over here. A very similar idea that he would get a lot of people together and he would teach them, you know, skills in learning Gemara, etc., trying to pick up their skills and improving, especially if it was for beginners, middle, you know, different levels. So this guy, Chesky, was a younger teenager, but he was a big mitchazek and he used to be very stark. He never missed. He was coming. Every week he would come. He had a class for him once a week. He would always come. Then twice a week, etc. Suddenly he noticed that one week he missed in a row two or three classes. He stopped coming. One class, said, okay, why? Two classes. Third class he missed. He said, that's it. Rav Shalom Shadron, he was younger at this stage. Rav Shalom Shadron went to this Chesky kid's house. This is in the mid-50s. He went to his house and he knocked on the door. And lo and behold, who answered the door? Chesky answered the door. Chesky answered the door. And he asked him, how you doing? Are you okay? Are you sick? Everything's all right? What's going on? He said, yeah, I'm okay, Rav. I'm okay. It's fine. Everything's okay. He said, okay, no, I guess it's back in the 50s. You could still do this. He said, so why aren't you coming to Seder? Right? Why aren't you doing it? Nowadays, if you do that, they won't come. They won't show up anymore. Right? So what's going on? What happened? So he told me, it's okay, Rav. You won't understand. Next Sunday I'll be there. I'm coming back next Sunday, whatever. Just, I mean, you know, it was Wednesday, Thursday. I'll be there at the beginning of next week, okay? I can't make it. He goes, maybe I can help you out. You know, I have a lot of money. Talk to me. Speak to me. What's the problem? What's the issue? I can help you out. Trust me, I can do it. Oh, this guy felt backed up to a wall. He couldn't help it. Respectful. Mechubadik Rav, very important Rav. So he said, okay, I'll tell you the truth. He said, I have to be honest with you. There's the football games are going on in England. In American, that's called soccer. In English, called football. Right? There's these soccer games going on, the World Cup competitions, etc. And it's a big thing. And you understand, I can't peel myself away. I have to watch it. It's too important. I can't miss it. I apologize. Trust me. The end of the games is by the end of this week. It's going to be finished. And Bezrat Hashem, back on Sunday, I'll come. I really apologize. So Shalom looked at him with his goyness. Right? No screams, no cries or anything like that. He goes, really, this game soccer, this game football, kadaregel, can you explain it to me? What is it like? So he says, oh, you really don't want to know, but it's fine, just trust me. He goes, no, I want to know what it's about. So he says, well, there are these two teams, and there's one on each side, and they each try to kick the ball with their foot, and they try to get into the other person's goal. They try to get into the other person's goal. He goes, really, and that's what they try to do, get in the other person's goal. So he goes, I have an idea. Let's go in the middle of the night when nobody is around and we'll go and we'll take the ball and we'll kick it straight into the goal. What's the big deal? We'll kick it straight into the goal. What's the problem? I could do it. I'm telling you, we'll go tonight. I'll show you. I could do it also. So the boy goes and no, you don't understand, Rabbi. I apologize. I feel bad. You know, I felt bad for the innocence of this Rabbi. You never understood. He goes, you understand, it doesn't work like that. It works when you have two opposing teams and one is against the other and the other one has to try and they go and there's a goalie there. There's someone who's a goalie that's protecting the goal and you have to try to get around him and shoot it over him and it's not so easy. And then you're able to score a goal and that's when it counts as a point. And then when you do that, everybody screams, yay, and everyone's so excited. So Shalom looked at him in the eyes, and the boy understood exactly what the lesson was. Sometimes when things are difficult, when things are dafka there, that's the point of the schar. Dafka there, when there's opponent side, when there's a competitive team, not at nighttime, when nobody's around and you're in an empty court, that's not the hard part. The hard part is when you have an opponent and you're still able to get around it. Over there is the point of achievement. And Baruch Hashem, that's what you guys are doing here. I want to give a hakar shatov to Rav Eli for bringing me here. Like I said, the truth is, much of what I said I feel applies to Rav Eli himself. I think he's going to be upset if I forget him over here, if I say something too much. But a certain person who came from so far, and he came this far, and he comes to push himself, always looking for the right emes. That's why he came to our Avram. He said, one place he's always enjoying, every place that he goes to, he came here, he realized his Rebbe is one who's teaching him the skills, basics, I don't care from what level it's starting from, to make sure that you do it to the right side. We should all take this as an appreciation. Yeah, I'm so sure.
Speak.